back. From Chicago, back. This is the Pete McMurray Show.
Back.
On 720.
That is great radio.
WGN.
720 WGN, Pete McMurray in the Allstate Showcase Studios. Boy, do we need this woman. She is a productivity expert, a best-selling author of Time Management from the Inside Out. She is one of the country's leading experts on organization. It's Julie Morgenstern. Julie, everyone listening right now can get organized in some shape or form. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, boy, and do we need it. I mean, what's
everybody can get organized. Everybody, you don't even have to be born organized to get organized.
Well, Julie, what is the first step? You got to help us get there because we all want to get organized in the new year.
Yeah, everybody does. So the first thing is, when you say everyone can get organized somewhere, there's lots of areas you can organize. You can organize physical spaces. You can organize your time, right? And a lot of times people are struggling with both. So my first piece of advice is if you're struggling with both, start with a physical space. Because it's more tangible, it's concrete, and when you organize your space, you actually gain a lot of time that you would otherwise spend looking for things or avoiding doing stuff because things aren't organized. So start with physical space. That's number one. You want number two?
Yes, I'm taking notes right now. I noticed that I'm taking notes, Scott, and you're the one that's the hoarder on the show, and you're not writing anything.
Well, I am, for the most part, pretty organized. I could, Pete, I keep the show organized, all of our guests and all of our meetings. And in my house, if you were to walk into my house, everything that you can see is great. If you open up a closet, you might find some piles of things. But my living area is fine. But I know people listening right now, the problem area in most people's homes, if you have kids, is that dining room table. It is a homework zone. It is an eating zone. It is a family meeting zone. It is a where your purse goes, your coat goes, and your scarf goes zone. So, I mean, that's, I know one people want to know how to fix that area in their home.
Yeah, I do. I think that's a hot spot. The kitchen table is a hot spot. Sometimes the front entry is a hot spot, right? Those are kind of the hot spots. So the second piece of advice I have is pick. You can start, make a big list of all the areas you want to organize, and you're going to have a big, long list. But then you want to start with just one project and pick a project where you spend the most amount of time. Because then if you spend half a day, even if it took a half a day or a day to organize it, you're going to feel the benefits every single day, and that will motivate you to tackle the rest of the house. So don't try to do your whole house all at once, even if the whole house has to be done. Start with one small, frequently used area.
I mean, if
dining room table's good.
If people are like me, my closet, my wife's been on me for months to clean out my closet. And I said, listen, it doesn't bother you. It's my closet, even though I have some old suits that really need to go to Goodwill. I mean, how do you tackle the closet? What's the first step that you take in there? Do you, if you haven't worn it in a year, is it the year rule?
No, I don't believe in the year rule. I don't. I think what I say is start out by defining the function of the closet. So make sure that you know what's the purpose of the closet. This is for your work clothes, your weekend clothes. Is it really for everything?
Right.
So know what's going to go in there when you're done. And then you just pull everything out and figure and sort of group similar items. I have this thing called the space formula, SPACE. Of how you very methodically dig through the clutter in any area. So it's an acronym. Sort, pull everything out, and group similar items, just so you know what you've got.
Okay.
Don't even worry about throwing things out. Just see what you have category by category. Then after you have things in piles, you purge. You get rid of all the duplicate, triplicate, excess, broken, stained, torn.
Well, I'm a guy. If I like a shirt, I'll buy four different colors in it.
But if you use it and love it, then
yes,
you should keep it.
Okay.
If that's the rule. It's not whether you've used it in a year or two. If you use it and love it, you should keep it.
Okay.
No need to get rid of anything you use or that you love.
All right.
Right? So, yeah, just purge, you know, and then and then you go to put everything back in. That's A, assign a home. So now you're just down to what you're going to keep, and then you put like with like, and you say, oh, my suits are going to be at this end of the closet, and my jackets, just my sports jackets will be next to it, and then my shirts, and then my pants that are just like my slacks. And you just go left to right, and within each group you might color, you know, go black, you know, gray, blue, red, orange, pink. I'm sure you've got red, orange, and pink in there.
I have a pink suit.
Hold on.
Yes.
Hold on. Pete, do you organize by color in your closet?
I do not.
No, I don't know. Do people do that, Julie? I mean.
Yeah.
They do.
Women, do you suggest it?
Women do.
Women do, and I think it's not bad for men either, because as long as you can see the color. I mean, there are, you know, lots of studies that say men are more color, actually physically more colorblind, more often are colorblind, more colorblind than women. But I think it makes it easier to get dressed. If you're like, oh, those are my navy suit. That's my navy suits, and then that, you know, my yellow ties go with that, and it just helps you get dressed faster. It's a time saver.
Well,
you
now,
spend
Julie,
less time looking.
You're mentioning more than one suit. Do people own more than one suit? Because my closet, I've got one suit, and I don't know if it fits.
It doesn't matter what color it is.
If it doesn't fit, does he keep it?
If it doesn't fit. And it's a very expensive suit that could be taken either out or in. Keep it. And
like
have
Julie.
It altered.
I like this.
Other than that, if it
other
wasn't expensive.
Other than that, I would let it go.
Yeah.
Right? But a suit, like if you only have one suit, it is possible that you only wear a suit once every 4 years when you have to. So that's why the one-year rule doesn't necessarily work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. We're talking to Julie Morgenstern. Organizational expert. Her book is called Time Management from the Inside Out. There's a lot of people listening right now that are, they don't want to throw things out because they're emotionally tied to it, so they hold on to it. And I think I have a little bit of that in me, but I found out as I get older, I don't really care. So I'm starting to toss more as I get older.
It makes so much sense. I think as you get older, you realize that life is much more defined by your experiences than your stuff.
Okay.
That's a sign of wisdom as you get older. And
right.
When you're younger, if you're in your 20s or early 30s, you know, you're setting up your first house, you know, and objects are what you kind of define yourself by more. But I do think that you're absolutely right that, you know, no matter what age you are, when we hold on to things that we're not using, that's what clutter is, right? Clutter is anything that is obsolete, but we're hanging on to it. And there's always some emotional attachment. I don't think of any form of clutter as junk. People call it junk. It's not junk.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that's stagnant, that's not being used, it represents an attachment that you're struggling to release.
Julie, let me just give you an item.
Oh,
for example,
no.
How about 6 rolls of Justin Bieber wrapping paper?
It's 30.
I'm sorry, 30 rolls of Justin Bieber wrapping paper.
Okay. So who has that,
all right,
for
Julie.
Example?
Let me see here.
For example.
right over here.
Yes.
Right over here. Scott?
So, Julie, 3 years ago, at well after Christmas, somewhere closer to Valentine's Day, Target was selling all of their Christmas paper for 90% off. And in my mind, I bought all the Justin Bieber wrapping paper. 3 years ago, Justin Bieber was the biggest thing on the planet. And I thought the following year, I could put it up on eBay and sell it for $1.50 a roll and make myself a little bit of money, because why not? Well, I didn't put it up that following year because I forgot about it. And then the next year I put it up, and I put it up in December. Well, people aren't going to buy wrapping paper in December. They buy it in October and November. So now it just sits in the corner of my closet, and Pete will not let it go.
I told him I'd give him $25 for it, and he wouldn't sell it.
Well,
really? Okay.
Because, now, Julie, hold on. All the truth needs to be out there, because Pete is going to take it and throw it in the dumpster, and that honestly hurts my heart.
I'm going to recycle it.
Yeah, he's going to throw it away.
So you are struggling to release that, you know, A, your decision, your the opportunity to, you know, make a little money, this clever little scheme that you came up with.
Uh-huh.
That, and you're also really mad at yourself that you didn't get it up the following year while Justin Bieber was still really hot,
right.
Even though, you know, right?
And I can't believe we're having this conversation.
It's true. That's
yes.
What it is. It's like you've got to let go. You've got to forgive yourself that you screwed that opportunity up, because hanging on to it is not serving you at all.
So what do I do with it? Do I give it to Pete for $25, even though he's going to throw it away or quote, recycle it?
I would.
Oh.
Because it's really about forgiving yourself that it was something you didn't get to, and also that you didn't get to, like, make that cool profit. You're not going to be able to go back in time and make that happen, right? Like, that was a moment in time. And by the way, I mean, I've been in this business for 25 years. Everybody has piles of that. So many projects that were never finished.
Right.
Or business cards that were never, you know, followed up on. We all, human beings, blow opportunities. You just have to recognize you pursued other opportunities at that time that were probably more valuable to you. And this one just fell off to the wayside. It wasn't like you were just sitting around doing nothing. You were doing other things that had higher value at that time. So everybody, and that's why paper or projects is the hardest clutter to release, because you're disappointed in yourself. You're hanging on to, like, hope. Maybe I can still salvage this. I've had clients that never wrote their thank you notes from their wedding or their baby when their baby was born.
Oh, jeez.
That's so hard to let go of, because you're letting go of the hope that you could still save this. But you have to forgive yourself. I mean, I see it all the time. So it's like you have to make room for new experiences, for new business schemes. You know, and maybe next time you let that go, and then you'll find another thing that you can buy and resell, and you won't miss that opportunity.
If Pete would stop bringing it up, I would be fine with just leaving them in the corner of my closet where all my wrapping paper is and worrying about it again in the future.
She wants you to get rid of it. She wants you
so
to purge.
Pete, no, Pete. So you're the one who has to let go.
Oh, I have to let go?
Yeah, you should let go.
All right, I'm going to let go.
Okay, Julie, he can keep it if he wants
it is.
To. If it doesn't distract him.
Right.
If it's not a burden, because it's really, you got to remember, this is all, like, very personal, right? Like, if Scott's happy with it, it's not weighing him down.
Julie, there's more at his mother's.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I definitely, have a lot of emotional connection to a lot of things. And the thing that I've learned that has been very helpful for me is the stuff that is at my mother's house in a storage room is a lot of stuff from my college years. And over the course of the last year, Pete and I, Pete went to college before I did. And he has just said recently, you know what, I've got all my college stuff. And I realize I don't have a connection to it anymore. It provides no enjoyment in my life, and I'm getting rid of it. And I feel that at some point in my life, I will reach that moment as well and realize, wait a minute, this is just stuff, and I get more joy out of the memories, so get rid of the stuff. And I'm just not there yet.
Yeah, you're not there yet. And as long as it's not holding you back or down, that's fine. But that's the, you know, I think we all, different kind of pockets of clutter, they reach some tipping point where it just feels like it's burdening us somehow. And then you have to reconcile, how do I reduce the volume or get rid of it all? And it's usually don't get rid of it all. A lot of times you just sort of say, of all this college stuff, if it's taking up half your mother's basement, right, and she needs the space or you want the space for something, you could say, what 10% of this is the stuff that is the best representation of those years of my life. And you only need the 10% to trigger the memories. You usually don't need it all.
Right. And Julie, I thought she'd call, but she hasn't called. We have a listener, Marty, who has how many creamers in her kitchen?
She has 350 creamers for coffee, like little, you know, decanters to put cream in. And she has 2,000 McDonald's toys from Happy Meals that she keeps in cookie tins all over her house, and she said she just has paths in her house to get to and from the important areas because the rest of the house is
she's a hoarder.
Full.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's an extreme case, but how does she get started?
So when you're in that situation, I think which is pretty extreme, right, where there's so much attachment, and her attachment is probably not just to the stuff, but it's to the volume of stuff that she has. It's not just the objects, it's the volume of objects. And people can get attached. They like to be surrounded by lots of stuff.
Okay.
And that gives them comfort and it's some sense of, there's all kinds of like psychological things that can feed and fill, but it's an attachment to the volume. So she has to sort of recognize that And that's number one. Number two, nobody lets go of anything into a vacuum. Nobody lets go of anything without reaching for something else. So she or anybody like that has to identify something like kind of the next chapter of her life or something she's making room for. And it could be making room for freedom. It could be making room for more of a social life so that she can invite people in, that she feels cut off from people. It could be that she wants to, like, unleash her creativity, or that she's got to be making room for something. And I call it naming your next theme. It's like, what's the theme, the experience you want to have next in your life? Name it. It's a word or a phrase. It's not like, oh, I want to become a, you know, scientist. It's not specific. It's a feeling that you want to experience, or a part of yourself that you want to express. And you name that, and then you can release the stuff to make room for that. And as you go through these piles and you get stuck, you ask yourself, what's worth more to me, this collection of McDonald's toys or the freedom to, you know, fulfill my potential, or the freedom to have a richer social life? And when you make that comparison, it's much easier to let go of the one, because you can compare it to what you're making room for. That's how you tackle that. And gently, but from the inside out. Always from the inside out, never from the outside in, because it won't last. And it's, you know, in that circumstance, I really feel, I know we're getting into, like, really heavy stuff, but
yeah,
there is a connection, right?
Sure.
There's a connection between our stuff and our identities and our expression of who we are and all of that. And I just feel that I think the clutter is a phenomenal point of entry into something that, as I said, it's an attachment you're struggling to release. And if you look at it and you say, if all this were gone, what would I miss?
Boy, that's a great point right there.
Yeah, and then you find out a belief.
Right.
I had a client who, you know, she was very similar, but her place was just stacked with, like, books and magazines and newspapers, and ultimately it was all knowledge. And it was, she said, it's like her chance to prove she's as smart as, you know, in her father's eyes.
Right.
When she was a kid, he never thought she was smart enough. So, like, she hoarded all this information to prove that. She was, a grown-up. But it was an opportunity for her to realize what her attachment was. And then she was able to release it and make room for something different.
If all this were gone, what would I miss? Wow, that is a great line. JulieMorgenstern.com is her website. Julie, if people sign up for your mailing list, what do they get?
They get, they'll get notices when I write a new blog, which is once or twice a month. And if we have anything really big going on, and if we release new products, we'll send out a little notice about that. Tips. We always try to send stuff of value to you. We don't do any selling, really. But we'd love people to come and visit and see what we're all about and get on our list.
One of the country's leading experts on organization or book, Time Management from the Inside Out. 5-time New York Times bestselling author, by the way. Did I mention that? That's pretty good.
And Organizing from the Inside Out is another good book for listeners to listen to.
Oh, we all need it.
From what we were talking about today.
Julie Morgenstern. Thank you, Julie. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's 720 WGN.